Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey insider Cody Decker.
It's been another big-time week here in Major League Baseball, and where are you going to get your information? None other than right here on Odyssey Sports, big-time baseball. Hello, everybody. I'm Cody Decker, former professional baseball player, turned professional smartass on the radio, and with me, as always, talking about everything about the game we love, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony, how you been this last week, man?
Cody, I am good. I am also happy to be in a nice little all-star break, a few days off, but always love to talk some baseball with you, my man.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, let's just get right to it. The first half is finally over. We had our initial predictions on what we expected the season to be, but looking at where we're at right now, where were we right, where were we wrong, and who are the teams that really surprised us? Because I'm looking throughout the entire Major League Baseball. Look at these first-place teams and just hear them out. Hear them out, and let's see who you thought yes. I'm just going to name a team. You go yes or no. Ready?
Yeah.
Red Sox.
No.
Absolutely no. Absolutely no. Oh, my goodness. I was so wrong about the Red Sox. And remember, we talked about this. We can't pretend it's not real anymore.
Yeah, no, we can't. I think both you and I thought early on this was a fugazi. It was not going to be real. But that's exactly what they've turned out to be, and they've done some pretty impressive things during the course of the season at this point. I mean, they got their young guys going. Bogarts is having another fantastic year. And listen, I think when it's all said and done, Alex Cora has to get a bunch of credit, right? This team, by in large part, really minus some big pieces. They moved some big pieces since the last time Alex Cora was the manager there, and all of a sudden, they place him back in the fold, and this team is sitting atop the American League East. I don't think anybody saw it coming. I think to this point, they've stacked up enough wins where you have to believe it's real. They've taken out the two best teams in that division on more than one occasion. So, yeah, it's real. But I would be lying if I said I had any clue that it was going to be anywhere near as good as they are this year.
I thought they were going to be in the cellar. You said it right there. Alex Cora, this is going to piss off every Dodger fan in the world, but Alex Cora deserves to be manager of the year. Look what he has done with this team. We all thought it was going to be in the cellar, just the worst team in the American League East. They have been unbelievable. I mean, you also mentioned the last time you managed this team, look who he had on that team. He had a completely different outfield. His entire outfield that he had that he won a World Series with, they're not there anymore. You got Benintendi in Kansas City. You got Betts in L.A. You got
Bradley in Milwaukee.
Bradley in Milwaukee. You had those are three like all-star outfielders that he doesn't have, and he still has a better team than he did then. Verdugo playing out of his mind. Guys like Hunter Renfro. Well, Hunter Renfro's having a hell of a year. Yeah, like it's just look at this team. Just they're exciting to watch, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna feel as comfortable about them in the second half going forward, because you know the Rays are gonna be there, and just in case. You never know if the Yankees really decide to start playing like the Yankees again.
That's also very true. They're going to be in the same category as the Giants. I mean, yes, they're real at this point. Can they sustain it and hold off the rest of the division? I think it's going to take a second half to figure it out. And I just think the Red Sox at this point, much like the Giants, and you can attest to this, Cody, when you played a year and you're maybe not expected to be a very good team, and you guys have played, you know, this many games over 81 games at this point, up closer to 90 games at this point, everybody in that locker room is believing that you are that good. So it's going to be tough to knock them off that pedestal. Will they be able to sustain it? Because I think you bring up a really good point. The Yankees are talented enough to where they could get hot and be a very, very dangerous team to have to deal with, especially on the offensive side. It hasn't been that way yet. They've showed us no sign that it's going to end up that way, but it still is a wild card in that American League East as we come down the stretch.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you mentioned the Giants. Here's another team. Yes or no? Did you expect this, the Giants?
Now, they're not like an absolute no, but if you're asking me if I expect them to be leading the division, it would be an absolute no.
Like yeah, I did not expect it either.
I think you and I both agree that, you know, if you watched this team enough last year, you knew that they had some dog in them, like they were going to go out and compete. Did you think that Gausman would be the pitcher he's been this year? Discofani has been the pitcher he's been? No, I don't think anybody expected it. The offensive, I think they got shirts now that say, let the old guys play. All of them are playing well. And to their credit, they bought into some of the things that this organization was doing, and it's helped them have a better season. I think they, to me, could be more likely to sustain it, maybe more than the Red Sox. And I say that because of those veterans. If they continue to play like this, there's no reason why the Giants offensively can't continue to score runs and continue to beat teams, because at this point, the pitching has been pretty good. And even when it hasn't, the offense has picked them up. So I had them as a definite no. I shouldn't say a definite no. I had them as a no. I didn't think they would be winning this division, but here they are playing some really, really good baseball. And they don't seem to be letting up.
Yeah, I expected them to be in the top three. I expected them to be in the hunt for that wild card. But to be in the top of that division with the Dodgers and Padres in that same division, I would have said never in a million years would this take place. But look at them. They just won't stop. And that's by me saying that. That's just how good I think the Dodgers and Padres are, not how not good I think the Giants are. The Giants are incredible. I just think the Dodgers and Padres are on their own level, but they haven't quite shown it yet. But they've shown glimpses of it. Both teams, they've shown that they are in the top five best in Major League Baseball. But they haven't quite gone over that hump that is the San Francisco Giants, which I did not see coming. Look at throughout the rest of the league. I mean, the Central in both divisions, I think we can both agree. We kind of expected it a little bit. Not only did we expect it, I don't see any signs of them holding, letting up. Not to mention, I don't even think the trade deadline is going to matter for the White Sox and the Brewers. Those two teams are going to run away with these divisions. In fact, they really already have.
Isn't it crazy how much the divisions mirror one another? I mean, you have the clear standout right now, which is the Brewers in the National League Central, and it's the White Sox in the American League Central. And then everybody else behind them is a nice distance behind them. Mm-hmm. In American League Central, it's even further. I mean, the White Sox are leading by 8 games. The next closest team is Cleveland. I think both you and I agree that the White Sox, and I think you said this best, they could have gotten anybody to manage them, and they still would have been in the same spot they are. But the fact that it's Tony La Russa, I think, just only shows that this team is for real. And on the National League side with the Brewers, they've come on as of late. And that's kind of coincided with the Cubs doing what I think that organization kind of wanted them to do, which was not necessarily be that good. So it'd be easy to kind of, you know, go into sell mode and kind of revamp this thing. Mm-hmm. But the Cubs have gladly obliged, and now they are sitting 8 games back after leading that division at one time. It was maybe 3 weeks ago. You and I were talking about this team maybe being a Yu Darvish away from being a real, real contender. And here we are 3 weeks later, and they're 8 out, and they seemingly are torpedoing in the wrong direction.
It was legitimately 14 days ago that this team was only 1 game back of first place, and we're just, what, 3 days out of throwing a no-hitter, and then right. They just started the worst timing ever of a 10. Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Cubs fans, worst timing ever. If you ask right. The Cubs front office and Theo and Jed Hoyer, the greatest timing ever. Because right. they needed to make a decision whether or not they were going to be big buyers or sellers. And clearly they're sellers, and they got some pieces. And quite frankly, they got the most coveted pieces of this upcoming trade deadline. I'm immediately looking at Kimbrel. I look at Bryant. You know, a lot of these teams that we're mentioning right now that are in first place are going to be affected by those two players drastically. And I'm not even saying that they land these players. I'm thinking that teams in the league need to land these players just so one of these teams don't. And the team I'm looking at right now is in New York, the Mets. The Mets need a bat badly, specifically a right-handed bat that can play third base. Chris Bryant is the perfect fit. Perfect fit. So much so that Chris Bryant is already prepared to play for the Mets, that he went ahead and banged up his hamstring last week just to get ready. It's just like he knows he's a Met. He already knows it. It's perfect. But I look at the Nats and the Nationals over in Washington. They need to get their hands on Bryant just so the Mets don't. I look at the Mets as being the one team in first place that might be the least stable team right now.
Yeah, listen, that National League East is a doozy. We just, we just saw both the Phillies and Nationals, and you could very easily see how they could win that division. You can very see how they would fall out of that division on both sides. You're right. Washington could use a bat like Chris Bryant. He would be a huge addition to what is already a pretty stellar top of the lineup with Trey Turner and Juan Soto really kind of getting the party started at the top. You get a guy like that in the middle to go behind Bell, all of a sudden, whew, you got to get through some tough bats there. I think their pitching is going to get healthier. I think Strasburg was throwing a live BP when they were out here in San Diego, so he's getting closer. You're going to be able to add him to the mix, and that's always a dangerous proposition. Corbin looked good in his last start against the Padres. I know he's been a little bit inconsistent. The Mets, though, if they can get that Bryant piece, I think they have a chance to run away with the division. I mean, they're 3.5 up, and they're playing decent baseball. Everybody else in the division is playing 500 baseball. At best, they're playing 500 baseball. So that division is going to be the division I think we're watching just as closely as we're watching possibly the top of the National League West.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the Mets desperately need something. I don't think they need more arms, although they could definitely use another bullpen arm. Everybody, I think, in baseball would agree that they could use a bullpen arm.
Going back to the Cubs real quick, they possibly have saved the entire trade market because of the amount of players they have to offer. Because as you and I talked about, it was going to be a tough market to go in as a buyer because there's going to be a whole bunch of y'all in the market. But now with the Cubs being so, you know, having plummeted basically, that opens the door for them to have 1, 2, 3, 4, who knows how many pieces they actually decide to move on. Because, you know, the rest of those guys are free agents at the end of the year. Or do they want to go into the offseason with a new collector's bargain agreement on their backs or coming around the corner, hopefully, and go and roll the dice and bring those guys back? My guess is that they're not. Is that they're going to want to move those guys and get what they can for them now. And so being that they have the most pieces to offer, they're going to probably drive the price up a lot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pieces there. And look throughout that entire Cubs lineup, entire Cubs franchise, the pieces are there, and they've even hinted that they'd be willing to do the Chapman thing. And when I say the Chapman thing, as in trade away someone like an Anthony Rizzo and get him back in the offseason and sign him to a multi-year deal. I can totally see them doing something like that. But there's a lot of needs out there. Specifically, I know this is not likely, and I don't think the Cubs would do it, but Wilson Contreras is a guy that has another year of of control. So he's got a guy that could be a hell of a piece for someone, say, like the Chicago White Sox, who have multiple injuries and Grandal out for the foreseeable future. I think that the Cubs have more pieces than they even realize. We're going through all these teams in first place right now. There's one team I didn't mention, and the reason why I didn't mention them is because it brings up the next question. Of these teams that we're mentioning in first place, if you had to pick one of these teams to win the World Series, where are you most confidently putting your money? And I will tell you right away, one place for me, and it's the one first place team I didn't mention, and it's because of the trade deadline. Because if this team lands another bat, I do not understand how anyone could beat the Houston Astros. Yeah, I think the Astros are the scariest team in baseball. And look throughout the league. We mentioned the Cubs, who are sellers. You know, there's another team that's going to be sellers? The Minnesota Twins. And the Minnesota Twins have bats to offer. Can you imagine a Nelson Cruz added to that lineup right now?
No, I can't. They already have the best offense in the game, in my opinion. I mean, and this is, I mean, they've been doing this without Bregman for the last, you know, 3-4 weeks. So that team is a problem. And they could add a bat. They need an arm. They need a couple arms out of that bullpen is what they need. But I guess you can go with the idea that, you know, we score enough in the playoffs, we got a chance to win. It's hard to imagine Nelson Cruz being in that lineup as good as that lineup is. It would be murderer's row, really, one through nine. You'd have issues getting through it. But when I look at that team and I see the kind of offense they already have, yes, it would be a nice bonus to have a bat like that, but they desperately need bullpen arms if they're going to be real contenders for a World Series. We're talking about, I think they'll win the division. I do. They're that good. And who knows what's going to happen with Verlander down the stretch, if he's going to be able to make it back or not. But, I think they need arms out of that bullpen. They need some experienced arms out of that bullpen. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're running out basically young guys all the time, and they're doing a decent job, but there's nights there's weeks where they have bad weeks as they try to navigate this major league season.
I almost feel bad for all the Dodger fans out there that listen to this podcast, because I'm giving you cold sweats. I'm suggesting that the Astros are going to win the World Series and that Alex Cora over in is going to win Manager of the Year. Sorry, LA. It's just the fact. These guys are really, really, really good. Yeah. No, you know, looking up and down that these leagues that we're talking about, the teams in first place, who are the second and third place teams that you really think are ready to make a run? For me, I think the obvious answer is either the Dodgers or the Padres. I think they're just the two best teams in baseball that just are not currently in first place. And what's amazing is they're the two best teams in the baseball. And I don't think, and obviously one of them can't be in first place.
Right. Yeah. And in that division, there's a chance that both of them don't end up in first place, but also end up in the playoffs. The National League West is setting the pace in terms of playoffs and how many wins you're going to need to get in, whether it's through the division or through it's the wild card. I think it runs through the National League West. I agree. Both of those teams are still, in my opinion, the better teams. If we're going to pick a second or third place team, it would be one of those two teams. You can maybe throw the Rays in there as an outside chance. They are basically a machine that just runs guys through it and they get what they need. I can't buy the A's in terms of World Series. They just haven't proved that they can get past the first round. The Phillies bullpen is atrocious. I've seen that on with my own eyes. I don't know what to make of the Reds. They are inconsistent. You know, their offense, you know, you got my man Winker and Castellanos doing their thing. I like the young kid India. He seems like he's going to be a really good player down the line. But you don't know what you're getting from their pitching. You don't know what you're going to get from the bullpen. If they all start being more consistent, they got a chance to get in the wild card, but I just don't see anybody beating either the Dodgers or the Padres in terms of wins and getting that wild card spot. I think the National League West is going to get three teams, I think, when it's all said and done.
It's incredible. We have a potential in one division to have three teams with over 100 wins, and two of them are going to have to be wild cards. That's just insane to me. It's just crazy. It's that's just how great that division is. And it's must watch TV. Every single game in the National League West, like, you can't skip it. You have to watch them. They're that entertaining, and it's like watching a playoff game every single night with these teams. It's something else. I don't remember ever seeing a division with that much parity, yet that much power. And when I say that, you know, when you see guys that are a league with more parity, you see guys, oh, well, yeah, that team's got 43 wins, 46 wins at the half, a bunch of teams that are above 500. These are three teams that are on pace for over 100 wins in division.
They are top heavy for sure. You know, because the Rock, for as good as the Giants, Dodgers, Padres are, the Rockies and Diamondbacks are pretty bad. I mean, the Rockies, they just beat the Padres 2-3 here in San Diego on the road. Prior to that series, they had 7 wins on the road all year long. Just, I mean, the worst road record in all of baseball. So I think that's kind of what is going on here. The two bottom teams are really bad. The three top teams are really good. And they pretty much take advantage for the most part of those teams at the bottom. But you're right. This is the type of stuff that sparks conversations, that gives rules change in terms of how playoffs work. And, you know, you got 3 100 team wins in one division. They're both wild. 2 of them are wild cards, and that's just the breaks. And you got a team in the National League East with, you know, maybe we'll finish with 90 wins and they'll win their division. And it's just kind of one of those years this year in terms of the National League West and the rest of these divisions.
It immediately makes me think of the year 2005. And why I say 2005 is the Padres won the National League West. They won the National League West, however, with exactly 500 record, exactly 500, where there were teams, you know, with 94 wins that didn't make playoffs that year. And I remember John Kruk on Baseball Tonight even saying, I don't think a team from the National League West should even be in the playoffs. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I thought he was right.
I remember that. That was the year, as you said, they finished 500. They got into the playoffs, and it just didn't feel right because the whole division was pretty bad that year. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where the National League East is right now, and I don't know if we'll be saying the same thing because they have so much star. But that was the other thing about that Padre team. It wasn't a whole bunch of stars on there, so it was easy to kind of dismiss them with that 500 record, but. It'll be harder to do that for the likes of these National League East teams because there's a lot of star power in there. So people will want to tune in and watch them play no matter who ends up getting in. But you're absolutely right. It does remind you a little bit of 05.
And also looking, we talked about at the beginning of the show, we talked about how it is the All-Star break. You are actually able, Tony, to give yourself an actual breath, which is nice because I feel like you are arguably one of the hardest working guys in baseball. And no one even realizes it. You're just constantly going and going and going.
Thank
it's
you,
pretty
sir.
Impressive. But right now, you're looking at the All-Star break. We saw some people opt out of the All-Star game. We talked about Jacob deGrom, but I loved it. I personally think it was the right thing for him to do, Jacob deGrom. He's come out of games early this year, and then he immediately put out there that Taijuan Walker should take his place, which I agreed with. Taijuan Walker was deserving to be an All-Star, and he's there, which is awesome. But then it led to more guys like Altuve and Correa and then more guys and more guys, and to the point where the All-Star team doesn't quite look like the same All-Star team anymore. Like right now in the National League, we have 4 starters coming from both the Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh Pirates, but only 1 starter from the Dodgers. But that's just a fascinating little entryway into the All-Star game.
It's
but it's
crazy.
Just one of those things that I look at this. Is this a good thing, players opting out? You see, as us both being players, I think we both see both sides. I totally see the whole concept of taking the break. You need the break for your team, for your health, for your sanity. Go see your family. Maybe go home for a couple of days. You know, that is something that really does recharge the batteries for a lot of guys. However, you might not ever get a chance to go to a major league All-Star game again. I don't understand ever giving up that opportunity.
Yeah. No, I'm torn on this one, man, because as a kid, I got to go with my dad to quite a few of those All-Star games. And for those who got a chance to see my dad play, you knew, especially towards the back end of his career, he was pretty much always hurt going into an All-Star game. And unless he just couldn't move, he played in those All-Star games. He traveled. He went through all of the because, listen, the reality is, for the guys who go to the All-Star game, that is a heavy, heavy week. Like, you are not – it's not like you're showing up just going to the field, taking some BP, and then you're playing a game. No. It is a lot required for these All-Stars. They signed thousands of autographs. They have to go to these. It's the weekend's full for them, is my point. And so it's not a vacation by any means. And you got family there. You got a whole, but ultimately, it is an honor and a privilege to be chosen by the fans, or in some cases by players, your fellow players in the league. And I think in some regards, you owe it to them to be there. Like, I get you want to rest. Everybody wants to rest. But, you know, this is what you signed up for. When you're a great player, an all-star caliber player, this is something that comes along with it. Now, that being said, I'm on board with the guys who've had injury, been on the IL a few times, been battling things. I'm all for that. And that makes sense. And we also got to take into account how different we view team sports now, right? I mean, some fan bases will feel some type of way if you go out in an all-star game, get hurt, and aren't there to help your team down the stretch. Like, you will get backlash from that. I'm sure that's on some guys' minds. Organizations feel differently about it. They're a little more, I don't want to say pushy, but they're more vocal about, hey, maybe you should, you know, take this time off. We think it's best that you do that. Now, they won't force a guy to do it, but I'm certainly sure they make their mind known. And not only that, the money is different now, right? I mean, these guys are getting paid millions and millions of dollars by these organizations to go out and help win a title. And that is kind of the expectation. So I understand the guys who are hurt and have struggled to stay healthy or have had some issues during the year. The guys I don't understand are the ones that, you know, that have been playing up until this point, haven't had any issues, and now they're backing out. That one I have a little bit harder time swallowing.
Yeah, that's something that kind of I understand. But here's the thing. I wouldn't have a problem with a player, say, getting selected for the All-Star team, mm-hmm. but going to the All-Star
absolutely
game, taking part in the pageantry and not playing. See, that makes way more sense to me. If Altuve and Correa are there on the field for the Home Run Derby enjoying themselves, yes, right. It's basically a work week, but I do think that they should be there. I just
show up, 100%.
Also, keep in mind, yeah, you got to do a lot of autographs. You got to do a lot of signing. Let's not pretend those guys aren't drinking their faces off and partying, too.
they're having a good time. Listen, here's the thing. 99, everybody remembers my dad taking out or helping Ted Williams throw out the first pitch in that Boston All-Star game. It was a pretty big moment. He was elected as a starter that year. Could not play, but he showed up. And I think that's ultimately the least you can do is just show up. Even if you're not going to play, you can get your rest and still be a part of the festivities. You were voted in. I think it's part of your duty to show up at the very least. I get not playing, but not showing up, I just have an issue with that.
That I completely agree with. It just makes, to me, it makes no sense. Yeah, of course you want to go to Disneyland with your wife for a day. But guys, I think Coors Field is Disneyland. Let's go to Disneyland
right.
At Coors Field. That would be sweet.
I mean, that's what All-Star Week is. They basically make it like a big Disneyland wherever you are. They got all kinds of things you can do there and enjoy yourselves. I mean,
like, keep in mind, I was never in a major league All-Star game. I wasn't that good, but I did play in a Triple-A All-Star game. And I got to tell you, it was arguably the most fun I ever had in my life that whole week in Omaha, Nebraska, getting ready for the Triple-A All-Star game. I was a starter. It was awesome. The pageant, I felt like a star. It was the only
right.
time in my ever career I felt like I made it, even though I know this is just a Triple-A All-Star game.
Hey, I can attest to that. I mean, I never made a big league All-Star, but I made one in Triple-A in Toledo, and I remember going and feeling like, man, this is it, man. Like, they're treating us like royalty out here. And I mean, who doesn't want to experience that? I get, you know, you've done it a few times, and maybe it's the feeling's not quite the same. You still have an obligation to show up, I think. At least that's just how I feel about it.
You know who's going to show up every year no matter what? Because he's got to collect his crown, and that is Pete Alonso. That guy, in my opinion, I think the Home Run Derby should change going forward. And hear me out on this real quick. I think from now on, there should be a throne behind home plate that Pete Alonso sits in, that he's constantly fed grapes and fanned at all times. And he just has a microphone and he gets to shout insults to everybody that hits a home run, like Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat 2. Like, somebody hits a home run, you just hear pathetic. just, it'd be perfect. He's the final boss from now on, because at this point, the guy's never lost a home run derby.
Yeah, and I don't see him losing anytime soon. I mean, I think you said it before we came on. This dude was mishitting balls and hitting them 480. And it was like easy, light work for him. I thought he would fatigue. I'm not going to lie. I thought Mancini's idea to just get off as many swings as possible, as quick as possible, was a great idea. And I didn't think Pete Alonso would be able to keep that pace. But not only did he keep up the pace, it seemed like he took his time the whole time while he was getting to the final number that he needed to get to. He ends up getting there in the bonus time. It was that was one of the better home run derbies I've seen, and I was locked in from start to finish on that one.
Couldn't take my eyes off the screen. The swing off between Ohtani and Soto was just, I was having a panic attack watching that. And then watching Soto with just ice water in his veins, home runs in a row on the swing off. It was just the coolest from beginning to the end. Major League Baseball has really done something really special with that home run derby. But I will tell you this, yesterday, just to try, because I did participate in a home run derby, but it was the old rules of the home run derby. The new rules with the timing thing, I will tell you, is extremely hard. How do I know that? I went to my facility yesterday in El Paso, Texas, and I tried it. We set up the machine. I set up the hit tracks for home run derby. 2 minutes. I get a 30-second break. I was gassed, and I'm in really good shape right now. And I was gassed. It's hard, man. And I'm not in the type of altitude that they were in Denver.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the part that was tripping me out, Cody, was that I've taken just BP in Denver. To do what they were doing at max effort with a time clock over your head, I thought they all were extremely impressive. Extremely impressive. Although I must say, I kind of thought Ohtani's night would end the way it did, where he would run out of gas. I mean, from what I hear, he doesn't even take BP that often during the season. So to get into on a stage like that, and you're, you know, in altitude, and I could see him running out of gas. And I'm not so sure it won't have an effect when they actually play the game, because this is a long weekend for him. He has never done anything like this at the big league level. I think it may have some effect on the start. We'll see.
Yes, it might. And I'm excited to see it, though. But, you know, we're bringing up Ohtani. It brings up the next topic real quick. Who are we most excited to look at this second half? And I think anybody who doesn't say the name Shohei Ohtani is only lying to themselves. I want to see how he bounces back from the second half, from this All-Star game, from this home run derby. Again, you mentioned he was gassed at the home run derby. What is he going to do in the what is he going to do in the All-Star game? How gassed is he going to be after that? How is he going to go into his second half? You know, we've talked about home run derbies before, harming players' swings. Even somebody as amazing at home run derbies as Ken Griffey Jr. opted out of them because he says it hurts his swing. You know, that was something he said, 1998. That's just how will his swing continue to grow through the second half? Will he get to this milestone of 60 home runs that he's on pace for? Or will he go the exact opposite direction? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
Ironically, that did. I think Griffey won the home run derby in Colorado in 1998. That was last year I think he did it. I think you're right. Shohei is clearly at the top of the list. I'll be watching Fernando Tatis Jr. This guy's got a legitimate chance at 30-30, maybe even 40-40. That's how good he's been this year. I mean, he's got a ways to go in bags. I think he's at 27-20 right now. I think he's going to get to 30-30, I think. And if he can get to that 40-40 number, he's got to turn the gas up on stolen bases. He's well within range to get the 40 homers. As long as he's healthy, I'll be watching those two guys as hard as I'm watching anybody in baseball in the second half of the season.
Keeping on that whole topic of the second half, we got the trade deadline coming up. Who are you most excited to see move? For me, it's two names. It's Chris Bryant, Craig Kimbrel. Bryant, I see him going to the Mets or possibly the Nats. However, Kimbrel, there is not a single bullpen in Major League Baseball I cannot see benefiting from Craig Kimbrell being added to their staff. I got to assume there's going to be a dogfight for Craig Kimbrell, and the Cubs are just sitting here just gleefully waiting for the prospects to come in, because I can't imagine the Dodgers letting the Padres get their hands on Kimbrell. I can't imagine the Padres letting the Dodgers get their hands on Kimbrell, and I can't imagine either team allowing the Giants to get their hands on Kimbrell. I cannot wait to see what's about to happen.
It's going to be a dog. It's going to be a dogfight, and there will be. This will be the first year in a while where we see some blocking trades, where a team will acquire guys just to block somebody else from getting them. I think we'll for sure see it. I agree. Those are the two names. Ever since the Cubs lost that 10 straight, these are the two guys I've been focused in on most, because I think, A, those are the two guys the Cubs are going to get the most for. If you throw Contreras in there, he may be the other one. But Kimbrell and Bryant are going to be the two guys that covet the most in return. And I think it is going to be not only a race between those three teams that you mentioned, but every team that's in contention could use bullpen arms. Philly could use bullpen arms. Nationals could use bullpen arms. Every team we talk about, Milwaukee, even though they got those two guys, they could add to their arms and make themselves, making it an even shorter game with the three, if you add Kimbrell to a guys they would have. So this is going to be a very interesting, now that the Cubs have lost, this is going to be a very interesting trade deadline, I believe.
And last thing on the day, and I'm not bringing it up because I want to, but because our producer Dylan Burns just desperately needs to hear something positive. The Major League Draft happened this last week, and it's still taking place. And which draft prospect are you most excited for? Considering the fact that I do not pay attention to high school baseball throughout the country, I don't know who the top 100 prospects are. However, there is one guy who got drafted, who could help out his major league team very soon, and that is Kamar Rocker out of Vanderbilt. He could help the Mets as soon as this season. We could get our hands on a Finnegan situation in Kansas City in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it very well could be one of those type of situations. It's a very rare thing where a guy can come up after being drafted in the same season and have the kind of success that is needed. But the Mets may be desperate enough to where they got to go that route. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm much like you. I don't know much about the guys who were drafted. I'm learning as their names come off the board. But, you know, you look at him and Leiter. Those are the two big names, at least I think most big leaguers were big league minds were watching, because those are the guys whose names kept popping up everywhere. So you're clearly familiar with Rocker and Leiter. We'll see if Rocker can get a chance to do it. It'll be a feat that not very many guys have pulled off.
Well, you'll know they're excited about it in Queens, so much so that there's already a billboard for Kamar Rocker up in Queens right now. And it just has a picture of him, and it says The Rock. They're already calling him The Rock. He was drafted yesterday.
Leave it to Mets fans to jump out the window on a draft pick.
Oh, poor Mets fans. I love them, but it's sad.
Oh, Dylan, I'm sure he is loving hearing this right
Possibly.
Now.
Possibly. Well, guys, as always, it's been a killer show. Tony, where can people find you?
You can find me at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter.
And you can find me at Decker6. Guys, most importantly, follow the show, subscribe, like, share the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. That's Big Time Baseball, Odyssey Sports. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, me, Cody Decker, Tony Gwynn Jr., as always, we'll see you next week. Be safe out there and root for whatever team you want to root for, because it doesn't matter. The Dodgers are probably winning the World Series. That's it for us, guys. We'll see you next week.